We're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 3 today, if you want to turn there. Why don't you stand with me as I'll read. Now Peter and John were going out to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit touches the heart of our church today. I pray that we see things differently today. I pray that your word is blessed and that we recognize truth. We love you. I pray this in your son's name. Amen. Let me see that. Thank you. Well, I have an outline in front of me here, but at 4:08 this morning, I began to work through it and copy down notes from my notes, and it just didn't seem right. And it brought me back to the quote that I wrote down: "Believing God will simply fulfill your expectations, limits the potential of him exceeding them." Believing that God will just simply fulfill your expectation limits the potential of him exceeding them. So I ask you, what do you expect? What is it that you expected today as you walked through that door to go to Sunday school, to go to worship? And we hear that comment sometimes within our families, sometimes from our kids, in the tone that we don't quite appreciate. What do you expect? What is it that you expect as you come in here today? And so as I was preparing, I'll go back to my notes, but God laid on my heart just to walk through this expository and to make sure you hear the words that are written from a physician. And I think that's why you see the specificity of strengthening ankles. I think it's important. But the most important thing I want you to hear is how this scripture comes to life. Because it's just not a physical healing that we read. It's a spiritual healing. And I pray that our students in here and our adults and everybody hear something just a little bit different today. So I want you to walk through this and follow with me if you have your Bible. I want you to see. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And we know that the hour starts at 6 a.m. That means the third hour is 9, the sixth hour is noon, and the ninth hour is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, mind you, this is not a time of service that they're just walking through singles of people. This place is packed. It is crowded, and it's time to pray. And a man who had been unable to walk from birth, that means at no time in his life was he ever able to stand up. At no time. And we learn as we read in Acts 4, verse 22, he's about 40 years old. That means for about half of his life already, he was not able to stand up. And he went to the same place every single day. He was carried. That means he was not able to get to where he wanted to go on his own. He relied on people to rescue him. He was completely dependent on other people. And I think what you have to see as you read here is this man went to church every day. What did he expect? He was not able to stand up. Every day he went to church. They set him down at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, so that he could beg alms from those entering the temple. Even when he was at the church, nothing changed in his life. So as they were carrying him, it says, whom they used to set down every day. So when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking them for coins. There was an expectation that he would receive something. So what are you expecting to receive today? So when he saw Peter and John, okay, but Peter, along with John, stared at him intently and said, "Look at us." Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm driving along and I'm going to an exit ramp or in a street light, it's not too often that I, in my guilt, that I always want to make eye contact with somebody who's asking for money. And I stand in front of you ashamed for that. But I also ask you this. What kind of eye contact do you make with those in need? Because when they stare back at you, they're expecting something, aren't they? And the man began to pay attention. Arms out. "I need some alms. I need some coins. Please, sir, do you have any money? Peter and John, look at us." The gaze is fixed. He's about to receive something. But Peter said, "Silver and gold, I do not have." In other words, look, I don't have anything physical to give you. I have no money to give you. And I think we've been there before. Look, I can't give you anything. I will tell you, I have plenty of homeless stories in my life that I have not done the thing that I am proud of. But Peter and John stop there. "Look at us. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk and go on walking." Now, I think many times we can skip over that when somebody says, "Well, why does he say in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene?" And I think you have to go back to the book of John to look at that. Because in the book of John, there's a verse in there that says, nothing good can ever come from Nazareth. So as I think of all that today and I look at this and I ask the question, what do you expect? And as we sit down, and many of our lives don't always change as we come to church, what is it that you expect of today? Because what Peter is saying, he said, look, my Jesus has been where you are. He's at a place where nothing good is known to come about that. We should never look over the fact that Jesus Christ knows where we've been, and he cannot handle anything. He cannot handle anything. He can handle everything, but he can't handle anything that we can't bring forth to him. And I think it's important to hear, Jesus came from no place, a place that there's a reputation of nothing good coming from that. And I think that's us. There's nothing good that can come from our fleshly bodies. And he says, stand up in the name of Jesus Christ. The power came from Jesus through Peter. And that just happened hours ago. The Holy Spirit came upon him. And now in the name of Jesus Christ, I tell you to stand up. And here's the thing. He seizes the man's hand. Give me your hand, Avery. He seizes his hand. And when he seizes his hand with a firm grip, he raised him up. Do I have your attention?
Yes.
You do. I do, don't I? Do you expect to stand up? No. Neither did that man. He never walked before, but he stood up, didn't he? Mm-hmm. You can sit down. I know I freaked you out. A firm grip raised him up. And with a leap, he stood up. When the power of Jesus Christ came through Peter, he leaped with joy. Remember that joyful moment when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do we forget the joy that we have when we expect to come through that door? And walking and leaping and praising God, all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they recognized him as the very man who usually sat begging coins at the beautiful gate. And they were filled with wonder and amazement and were mystified at what happened to him. What did he do? What was the first thing that this guy did, the man in need, when he stood up? He went to church. And how many lives, as you look on into chapter 4, and I want to jump over there just for a minute. We'll get there. But because that one man decided to be changed, to have faith, knowing that he could be healed, to make eye contact with Peter. How many lives were changed that day? What's that number in verse 4 of Acts 4? 5,000 men were changed that day. I ask you men here today, how lame are you? Because today is the day that we need to leap for joy, and we can change lives. With a firm grip, and any of these young people sitting here, they can leap for joy knowing that they know you're Jesus. I think it's so important to understand the first thing this guy did was go to church. He went to worship, and they recognized him. It just didn't change his life. It changed 5,000 souls and more. That's a revival. So, as you now understand the depth of that verse, of those verses, there's much more to it. I have so many notes here, but when I get in front of you guys, my mind wanders. What do you expect? Our life is proportionate to our expectations. Expect a little, you get a little. Expect fear, you get a life of fear. Expect failure, you'll always try not to fail. Expect big, man, you get a big life. Does this mean you get everything you want? No. But it does mean that if you expect to see God move in big ways, you will move things out of the impossible realm into the possible realm. But the only way you do that is through Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 31 to 33 shows exactly, I'll read it for you. Matthew 6, 31 to 33. We know what verse 33 says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But look at verse 31. Therefore, look, don't worry or be anxious what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink or what we're going to wear. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows, he knows that you need them. But first and most importantly, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to us. And he goes on 34, so don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Worry can entrap the heart. It can fracture our faith. It leads us into despair, but God knows that we have his daily needs, his promises throughout Scripture. So instead of expecting the things and worry about those things that are of our flesh, the things of our own effort, we're urged to seek him first. And when we do, we exchange that natural thinking for godly thinking. And God becomes our main focus. And glorifying God is our expectation. I ask you again, did you expect to glorify God when you walked in that door today? I ask all the churches, do you expect to glorify God with your worship today? trouble in our lives. And expectations are built on our experiences, on our human assumptions. And faulty expectations causes a life of conflict. Anytime there's a dependency, expectations exist. However, the Bible encourages us to trust in the Lord. Let me read Psalm 62:5 to you. 62:5. I should have all these marked, but I don't. 62:5 says this: "For God alone my soul waits in silence and quietly submits to him, for my hope is from him." And those who have the King James Version, it says this: "For my expectations are from him." The same is true for Psalm, I think it's Proverbs 23:18. "Surely there is a future, and your hope and expectation will not be cut off. The godly are justified." And it's okay to have great expectations. When we base our expectations on God's word alone, our expectations can come to life. Did you expect God to transform your life today? Did you expect God to come in and move in your life today? I was sitting right there with Tara and I said, my heart rate is 120 right now. I have no idea why, but I was overwhelmed with expectation. It wasn't because I was nervous. I get nervous, but just like that song, I'm ready for something to happen. Are you ready? Are you expectantly ready? Do you have an earnestly expectant heart to watch God move? Let's work through this. There's four things in your bulletin, and we'll go through these. You have Peter. I think I put down a man in need, the lame beggar. You have God, and then I'm asking you to put your name on there. Because from those verses, which did each of those people expect? What did Peter expect? What did the man expect? What did God expect? And what do we expect? And we'll go through this somewhat quickly. It's mostly a review of what I just went over. So the place is packed. It's 3:00 in the afternoon. Peter was headed to worship. What did Peter expect as he and John were headed to worship? Was he expecting to meet this man who was asking for money? Did the man have a sign? Was he yelling loudly? Of all the people that are strewn on the steps, why did this man get the attention of Peter? I'll tell you why I think. They were going to church, and they were expecting to meet God. Peter was expecting to meet God in worship. Peter saw an opportunity, nothing more, nothing less. What just happened hours before gave Peter the spiritual vision to expect God to work. God put that person, that lame beggar, in front of the vision of Peter and John, the voice louder than any other one, walking past, "Sir, do you have anything to give?" Peter never blinked at the chance to share Jesus. He never blinked. In fact, the first thing he said, "Look at us. Look at us." At that moment, that man knew he was receiving something, and Peter expected God to work. It was his first time. He was going to church. This is his first time moving the Holy Spirit's power through him into this man. Peter better expect it to work. How many times are we expectant to see the Holy Spirit move in our lives every Sunday? He was broke. He said, "I don't have anything to give you. I have nothing to offer. But what I have given, but what's been given to me, I give to you." You know what Peter had? He had a sense of readiness. Peter expected God to show up. Peter expected to share Jesus Christ. He was just appointed the leader of the church. This was his first expectation. And he shifted into the name of Jesus Christ. What did the man in need want? What was his expectation that day? My guys are going to come by. They're going to carry me. They're going to put me on the steps, and I'm going to go ahead and ask for money from the same people I see every day. What were his expectations that day? You think they were to walk? I would think not. Even though we see his expectations were misdirected, he still expected to receive something. Two men attending the same worship service, each with expectations. Where do you fall so far? Are you the Peter or are you the beggar? Here's what we know. The man was born into brokenness. I would believe we are too. He was physically crippled, and every day he woke up broken. And he couldn't carry himself to a life. He was dependent on other people to take him to his life. He had to beg every day. If this was your life, what would be your expectations? His only expectations were to be noticed. His only expectations were for somebody to make eye contact with him. And brothers and sisters, I ask you this. How many people have you not made eye contact with just today? Peter and John were walking to the worship. The beggar was at their feet. The beggar stopped him. It wasn't the beggar. It was obedience. I think many times we see our young people, even our experienced seasoned people who are struggling, who just want eye contact. Will somebody just look at me? Because if they look at me, they'll see the hurt. Or will somebody look at me so I can praise Jesus with them? Instead of just sitting down in churches today, what if every single one of us expected God to work today? What a revival. This man had no ability to rescue himself. He was at the mercy of those who would simply look at him. And when he locks in, yes, I'm finally going to get something. I wonder what it was like when he took his first step. I imagine it's like our salvation decision. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us and our hearts are beating and we're going, oh, I made it. That's the leap for joy. He stood up, and every crippled bone that prevented him from walking was healed. Just like that. Did he give praise to Peter? No. He glorified God. A man broken from birth, healed with a new beginning. So let me close this out. What does God expect? Above all, God expects, God wants you to expect him to work. He expects us to close the gap. He wants us to break normal routines. God doesn't demand perfection. He doesn't ask us to measure up. He never thought we could do life alone, or he wouldn't have sent his son, Jesus Christ, to help us. God is aware of our sinfulness. And even as Christians, there's a tension when we close the gap. And that gap is perfection in a sinful life. And sometimes we're in that gap and we try to lower God's standards. And sometimes we're so sinful that we just work hard to hide our sin. The only way that we can close that gap, the only way we can close that gap is to put your faith in a man named Jesus. And Jesus takes your hand with a firm grip and he stands you up And you get to praise his name every day. We get to stand in the presence of God every day. We have that access every day. So, your name here, what do you expect? What are your expectations as you approach worship? Number one, we should expect where we go. The blessed places for you to be. Oh, it's nice to be at the beach. It's nice to be in a cabin in the mountains. But the best place for you to be is in the presence of a holy God. We have the privilege to access that every day. He talks about that in Proverbs and Psalm. He says, find me early. And in Psalm, when he says, find me early, that doesn't mean in the morning. That means as soon as you have the capacity to understand what salvation is, as soon as you understand that your life can be completely transformed by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that. But into Psalm 5, he does say in the morning, before you start your day, before the activities of the scheduling gets in your way, you start your day with Jesus. When God looks at you, he doesn't see limitations. He sees opportunities. Do you expect that? Many of us put things we want to do before the change in us. I can do this and I can do that. People can see me do that before we're transformed. When you're transformed with Jesus Christ, your work will glorify God in big ways. When we surrender totally to the Holy Spirit, he empowers us, and we serve him with the right motives. Why were the people amazed? Is that last verse, they were amazed. Think about where they came from. They were Jewish. They had just witnessed the miracles. They know about the miracles of the wandering. God performed all kinds of miracles. Why were they amazed that this just happened? It's a C word that we get as Christians today, and it's called complacency. We just navigate through life. What do you expect? Sunday school, fellowship, a little scripture, some music that I want to hear, maybe a good meal. Are you expecting to see God at work today? Are you making eye contact with somebody today? Are you praying that brother or sister next to you will just make eye contact with you today? Are you begging to be shown a Savior that's forgiving? I believe our goal should be this, is to cultivate a prayerful, expectant heart. It's self-examination, it's clinging to the truth, and it's improving your spiritual vision. When we improve our spiritual vision, it frees us from our own expectations. We should expect nothing more than to watch God work every day. Expecting God means that we are ready to leap and to spring into action every day of our lives. You expect it? Is it joyful? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us where we are. Father, I think sometimes if we don't expect, we can't be let down. We serve a God who doesn't let us down. Lord, I thank you for meeting us where we are. You shifted this beggar's life into a life of hopefulness. Father, I pray that you shift our lives into expectation, that we enter every day in the morning, opportunity in our lives to transform for you. And our expectancy is glorifying your name through it all. I pray, Lord, that there are people in here that are just waiting, Lord. Allow them to stand up. And Father, for the Peters and the Johns in here, allow them to extend a hand and to bring other brothers and sisters up. Introduce them to Jesus Christ. So Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for a joyful time together. Allow us to leave here today with expectant hearts watching you work. We love you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be down front as always. And I pray if today's the day that you want to change your life for Jesus Christ, if your decision is to receive him as your Lord and Savior, I want nothing more than to come down here and pray with you. As you leap for joy, it's not a sad time, it's a happy time. But today's a day that you just need prayer. So you know what, I there's people in my life that I just need to pray with and for. Lord, equip me, use me. We would pray for you here, or you can pray here. And maybe today is a day that you would like to join Shiloh Baptist Church and be a part of what God is doing in his place. I invite you to come forward today. Let's stand and sing.
Bowing here.